I'm thankful to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I think that we are basically the house of God. Where we gather and what we do and the names that we put on the buildings and all that really don't count, but it counts. What's really important is what we do and what we are and what we establish for God. I think it was Thursday afternoon, I went to a place of business in Fall River, and while I was there, the man was talking to another man that he came into his establishment. He began to speak to him about some things, and he had a mimeographed piece out of the Herald News, and the man was reading that was in the shop, and it was about something that this man, Mr. Mullins, had done, and you could tell when he was talking to the man, he was very proud of it. And he got through with that, and when that man left, then this Mr. Mullins began to speak with me, and he had me to read the article. And the thing that intrigued me about it was, though, that I looked up at the top of that mimeographed piece, and it had the date on it. It had 1970 was the date. And evidently this man had this piece in his shop and very proud of it. An accomplishment, I guess, when we get our name in the paper, we're all happy about it. But the thought struck me that this man had an accomplishment 20 years ago, and I wonder what he's done in between then and now. The thing being that really got to me is it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. It does not matter what we've done in the past. I've done things for God in the past, but that's all water under the bridge. I cannot stand on my laurels of things that have gone on in the past and really expect to do anything for God today. Today is today. Amen. And we've got to do, if we're going to do anything, we've got to do it from now on and not in the past. And in 1970, I was still I was in the Marine Corps at that time and had just gotten out of the service. That was a long time ago. What I've done for God 5-10 years ago don't count. Not now. Doesn't count. What counts now is what I'll do for God today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And we need to really establish ourselves upon that principle that I want to do something for God. And if I'm going to do anything for God, I've got to start today, and I've got to do it today, and I've got to pray today, and I've got to seek God today, and I've got to witness today, because 1970's gone. And all those articles that we could hang up and on the wall and the brag rags and all those kinds of fineries that we can do, those things just don't count for the kingdom of God tomorrow. Praise God. I want to do something for the Lord. Praise God. And I am glad to be with y'all. Y'all, I guess that's an accepted word around here, isn't it, y'all? Okay. I've got a few Texans and a few Louisianans and a few Arkansians and stuff like that. So that's in the book, you know, y'all, it's in there. You all and we all and we-ins and you-ins, all those kind of things. I try to clean up my vernacular because I'm in a minority status in my city, and people accost me all the time about my vernacular and things that I use and the idioms that we use. Idioms are for idiots sometimes, I guess, so I guess I fit right in. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. I love the Word of God. I enjoy good singing. I enjoy worship. But the thing being that just worship will not save you. And just music will not save you. The Lord said, howbeit in vain they do worship me following the traditions of men. The Word gets the traditions out and makes our worship valid worship. And so this morning I pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to you. If you will, let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Luke 24, one verse of Scripture this morning in your hearing. It's verse 29. It said, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Let's just reread that. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord one more time. God, we praise you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, precious God. Precious Lord. Hallelujah, precious Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, precious Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to say, and I probably will say this every time that I come here, and until I stop doing this, I'll say it. I appreciate your church and the stance that y'all have taken in this day and what you are doing for God. I believe that there are few lights that shine bright in the day that we live, but I believe that there's a church at Norwich that's shining bright for the Lord. I want to keep it up. Praise God. I believe that. Praise the Lord. I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the passage of Scripture or the excerpt of Scripture that I have read to you. We're all Bible scholars. Everybody claims that we're all preachers. But the Word of God is speaking to me in a way this morning that I guess we're all guilty that when we come to church, every preacher that preaches will always refer when he's preaching. It doesn't matter. It can be 9 o'clock in the morning. It can be 7 o'clock in the morning. It can be a sunrise service. It's always when he preaches. I want to tell you tonight. So I will illustrate to you tonight that point, I hope, because the Bible is telling me that there were two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. The Bible tells me that these two men, as they began to walk, that the Lord attached himself to them, and he began to walk with them. If you look at a map or you read anything, you'll find that Emmaus was about 7.5 miles away from Jerusalem. And they were on their way to this little village. And as they went, the Bible says, of course, that the Lord began to walk with them. And their conversation was one of two men that were troubled. And the Lord began to probe into them and begin to ask them, saying, you know, what's the matter? You guys seem like you're a little bit perplexed about what's going on. And they began to get off on the Lord. They began to say, where are you from? You know, I mean, you don't know what's going on. You hadn't read the newspaper. You hadn't heard the news. You hadn't heard the rumors. Jesus has been crucified. And now this is the third day. And some women have gone to the tomb. And they went to the tomb. And when they went to the tomb, they saw angels, but his body was not there, and the disciples have ran there, and they too have come and told us the very same story. And the Bible says at this point that the Lord began to as if it were, he were going to go on, but the Bible says that these men constrained him. And they said, now we want you to come in and abide with us. Stay with us because it's almost evening time. And I want to tell you today that I believe that we live in society. We live in our lives. We live in our homes. We live in on our daily jobs in a time that it's evening time. Amen. I believe that it's dark outside. Even though the sun is shining, I believe that the Bible teaches that we live in a very dark day. The Bible refers to Jesus Christ as being the light of the world. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. We live in a very dark, dark, dark day. You look around you today, I want to tell you that there are things that are happening that if you look at the clock that man has established, you will find that we are very, very near to the point of destruction in our life. I've read much, and I'm sure that possibly with the things that have gone on in the last few months with Gorbachev and his glasnost policies and those types of things, that they have rolled the nuclear clock somewhat back. But for years, we teetered within moments of midnight on the nuclear clock. And scientists updated this clock periodically as new developments came in and as world situations changed. But they said that we lived literally on the verge of a nuclear holocaust that could bring about what the world science community considers to bring about the nuclear winter or nuclear autumn that would change our climate in such a way that there would be a total and complete destruction of life as we know it. Complete and utter destruction. And we lived on that verge of someone pushing a button and destroying all life as we know it. I heard an interview here a couple years ago. They were talking with one of the musicians that were with the Rolling Stones. I believe it was Keith Richards. And he said that had we known that we were going to live as long as we had lived, we would have taken better care of ourselves. That they had ran themselves into the ground, the drugs and the alcohol and the hard lifestyle, because they thought all that they had been told by the community at large was that we're not going to live because man is going to destroy himself. And the world today looks outside and they see things. And the reason that suicide is so high among our young people is because there's such an air of uncertainty in life that they say, why should I hang around and leave my life for somebody else to destroy? So they think they go out and they've got the right to take their own life to get out of the darkness of the day in which we dwell. I want to tell you something. We live in a dark day. But I'm not a prophet of doom today. Don't get me wrong. I talk about a lot of negative things, but I talk about them in a positive light. I get to talking to people sometimes and I'm saying, boy, the economy's rotten. You know, we're going to be destroyed on this hand or destroyed on that hand. And people, I look at them and their faces all twisted and distorted and all that, and I'm smiling. You know, they don't understand. What's the difference? The difference being that we know the way out. We know the one who's got the way out of this situation. Praise God. I think, though, that as we look at the darkness of the day, that we look around and we find that society has heightened itself, and we have... Now at this point, we've got 5 billion people on the earth. That's quite a few to feed, you know. If you had to set them down, it'd take you a while to do that. But here, what was it, last year, I believe they had the birth of what they considered the 5 billionth person. 5 billion. That's a lot of bodies. They claim that within 20 years, we will top 10 billion, double in size, in this world. The environment is not able to handle what we have. They don't have a place to put the trash that you dump out on the street corners today. They don't have any place to put it. They're finding that that the ecological clock, if you please, is ticking faster probably now than the nuclear clock, that man now has the ability, just through pollution and the chemicals that they've been dumping offshore and the things that they've been doing, to destroy our environment. What we breathe is not worth breathing anymore. You know, you look at these kind of things and you go, oh, God, you know, God, things are happening. I'm not at all happy with the way things are going. They claim that they are cutting thousands of acres of the rainforest down in Brazil, in the Amazon. And just over and over and over, they slash and burn this. And they claim that this is the lungs of the world, that the oxygen that comes up from that part of the world gets into the stratosphere and goes around, and you are breathing a large part of what you breathe comes from that part of the world, because it's just such a rich vegetative area that it brings about life for the whole world. And they're destroying these things because we've got such an increase in population. And so the ecological clock is also ticking. I think that the saddest aspect of life today is that we have a morality clock that man cannot keep up with. People don't know today if it's right to take another person's life and pull the plug, euthanasia, mercy killings, whatever you want to call them, whether or not it's right to let that man live or let that man die, to take this man's heart out of his chest and implant it into this man's chest. They don't know if it's right today for this woman to bring about conception in her ovaries and transplant those embryos into the ovaries of another woman. We have a morality clock that is ticking so fast that men do not know, literally do not know how to keep up with the things that have been developed within the last few years.
Amen.
There's some complex issues that are being dealt with. And this morality clock, I believe, is to sadness of our day, is that this is a situation that people do not know how to deal with. This is the clock that is ticking faster than them all. And this is the clock that has got us at the closest or the darkest point of the evening today. It's the morality clock. Our children, we've got to not only school them of the minor simple things of life and try to get them with an education, we have to teach them against the crash of our culture as far as drugs and sexuality, homosexuality, lesbianism, the things that this world is just trying to infringe in upon us and to push its ideas into us. And I want to tell you something, that the world tries to tell us that there needs to be a separation of church and state. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Because if the church is not an influence and an effect on the state, then our state will be a demoralizing effect on the church. So if they're going to affect me, then I'm going to affect them. I'm going to let them know where I stand and how I stand and what I believe and why I believe it. You think that we don't need to stand up and speak our voice when we've got the radicals that are out there and that what I consider a very vocal minority that are immoral and taking and pressing their views in upon us? If they can press their views in upon us, then I've got the right to impress my views in upon them.
Amen.
Praise God. And if we don't do it, we're guilty. We have got to stand before in the light of the day in which we live. The Lord said, He said, I've got to do the work of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can labor. We stand on the verge of that aspect where the lack of morality gives us the place to be able to stand up and say, I don't want this in my home. I don't want this in my community. I want to be able to live for God and serve God. And if you say that today, people want to brand you as being some goofball, some radical, somebody that's lost out of touch with what there is real in this world. It's because this morality clock is probably gone on the other side of 12 o'clock already. Praise God. But I believe that this is the atmosphere that these two disciples that were walking down the road to Emmaus, that they clutched on. They said, why don't you come and abide with us? Because it's close to evening time. It's real close, Brother Wall. I believe that it's real close. And I believe that there's more today than just the disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, that are looking out and seeing things and saying, oh God, it's dark outside. And I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. And I'm not satisfied with where my church is at. And I'm not satisfied with where my family is at. But Lord, won't you come on inside and abide with us tonight, for it's evening time. Praise God. These two men said, come on inside. They knew that there was something special about this one that had walked along the road with them. He hadn't said a whole lot to them. But he had said enough, and they had felt that spirit that was manifest by him. And there was something that was so special that they said, it's getting dark, but we don't want you to leave. We'd like for a little bit of you to hang around with us. And they invited him inside. And the Bible says that he began to expound to them things. Beginning at Moses, and he expounded on down to them the things that were going on. He did this as they walked. But the Bible says that it came to a point that they got him and they brought him on to the inside of that home. And as they sat there, the Bible says that he broke bread. And when he broke bread, that their eyes were open. And they knew who he was. And then he was gone out from their midst. But I want to tell you tonight, church, that even as it is night outside, even though the sun may be up,
that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to take us and to motivate us and to move us and to keep us in the darkness of the hour in which we dwell. Praise God. Praise God. It's evening outside, and the Lord Jesus Christ can be in the house. Can be in your home. It can be on your job. It can be wherever you need it to be. The Lord Jesus Christ can be there. Praise God. You see, our mentality is, or has been, that we've got to hit bottom and completely be out and without and completely stressed out before we can feel the presence of God. We've got the attitude that we've got to be like the rich man that's in hell, that looks up, and he sees that he's blown it all, and Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, and he looks up and he sees that, and he says, "Can't you help me? It's too late. It's too late. That's gone past the time of there being any help." But the world has gotten to the point that now, as we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a position to be able to guide people under the light and bring them into the light and establish them into the light, because He is the light. And in Him is what? No variable, neither a shadow of turning. He is the one that has got the ability to bring about everything that every individual needs in our life. Doesn't matter how dark your life is. People go, "Yeah, but you don't know where I'm at." No, I don't know where you're at, but I know someone that does know where you're at. I know people who their life has been completely wrecked. Their homes have been destroyed. Everything about them, no job, no plane to get on where they can say that they feel some form of comfort in their life. And then Jesus Christ comes in. They said, "Lord God, it's evening time. Now we need you to come on in and abide with us for a while." People that their homes were wrecked, to come in and feel the presence of Almighty God, come in at that point and turn on the light in that home and begin to elevate that home to a higher strata of life, spiritual life. See, we don't really think that God can do what God can do. We don't. Our area of faith gets to a point, and then we say, "Well, that's it. I can't believe God for any more." But let me tell you something. The Lord spoke to Abraham. He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God to do? Are you too sick? Are you too sick to be healed?" People want to refrain away from AIDS and are scared of it, fearful. You say, "Do you know anybody that's been healed of AIDS?" No. But I hadn't prayed for anybody that's had AIDS either. I don't know if anybody has, but I know a God that's got the capabilities to reach down into anybody's life and just pull out that virus and go, "I don't want this anymore in your life." Because God made us and God formed us. And if He formed us, then He knows how to fix us. Praise God. The ability of God and the hand of God is not short, the Bible says, that He cannot deliver. Praise God. We don't stand in the face of things, whether it be nuclear holocaust or environmental problems or morality problems, and have to go start wringing our hands and going, "Oh God, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." We stand in the face of one that says, if we can just get Him to come on in and sit down, no matter how dark it is outside, and say, "Lord, speak to us. Break that bread with us. Open up our understanding. Speak to us. Speak to us." Problem being that we let the opportunity pass us by. We let that opportunity pass us by, and then we kind of sitting there going, you know what their statement was. Huh? Did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us while he expounded the scriptures to us? Every time we come into the presence of God, we stand in the place of receiving from God. If you feel the presence of God this morning, all you've got to do is say, Lord, right now, in the very name of Jesus, I believe you, Lord. And right at that point, whatever it is, if it's a sickness in your body, the thing has got to go in Jesus' name. If it's a dilemma in your life, you can say, Lord, did not our heart burn within us? Didn't we feel the presence of God? Feeling after that presence and knowing. I've seen people delivered of things in their homes, in their lives, in everything, just because of that simple, as the Lord moved by, they just reached out and touched the Lord in a simple element of faith. It doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be ritualistic. It doesn't have to be traditional. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I need it. Lord, I need it. I'm prepared right now. My faith is to a point right now. I'm established in the faith right now. I've got you in my home right now. And I'm not going to accept defeat now. I've got you, and my heart is burning. I'm going to reach out right now, and I'm going to seize this opportunity in the presence of God. Worship the Lord. God be loved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This burning on the inside. We have become so calloused to the move of God as people who feel the presence of God that we think that we've got to be knocked down and completely slain and just, you know, just virtually devastated by a move of God to get anything from God. It doesn't tell me that in the Word of God. It tells me that if I'm going to receive from God, I'm going to receive from God in an element of faith. And faith is things I haven't seen, that I haven't felt, but it's just going to reach out and I'm going to touch God. And whatever the situation is going to dissolve. It's going to disappear. It's going to move. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And I want to tell you something, that if you feel the presence of God this morning and you've got a need, and if you walk out of here this morning with that problem in this hour of the evening, you're a fool to walk away with that problem. Amen. You know what the ministry is? Brother Rutledge will tell you this, and anybody that is preached, it is resting out of the hands of the individual that you are ministering to the problem that they are so desperately holding on to. People want to clutch on to their little problems and then they want to cry about them. Oh, I got this problem. I got this problem. Well, why are you holding on to it so hard? Let's just minister to you this morning just a little bit. Some of you have got some problems this morning that you've been dealing with and you've been fighting and you've been holding on to them and you've been clutching on to them, and they are your security blanket. You're like little Linus running around with that old dirty blanket and you don't want to turn loose of it. You got it all wore out and tore up. You're sucking your thumb and you're going, oh God, oh God, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let loose that thing. Turn loose of that thing in the name of Jesus and get up on top of it in the name of Jesus. It's evening time, Lord. Won't you come on and abide with us? But don't hang on to the problem. Problem is, we invite the Lord in at evening time and we bring the problem and we want to hold on to the problem. We don't want to turn loose of the problem. We don't want to give God the vent and the opportunity to take and seize the moment and to get that problem out of our life. God will not wrestle the sin out of our life. He will not wrestle the problems out of our life. We've got to say, Lord, I depend on you. I trust in you. And turn that thing over to him. Loose that grip off of that thing and let it go and let God have it. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord wants to come in and make his abode with us. He wants to stay with us. He's not interested in just coming in and camping just for a short period of time. He wants to live with us. He wants to set up home, set up shop in our homes. Establish within our homes a fortress in a very dark day. Praise God. I don't know how many families that we've got here, but I'll tell you, you're more spread out than this building is today. And the Word of God tells me that each home is a light that shines in darkness. I believe that when you pray, if you could see in the Spirit at night, you'd be able to see little glowing spots in the darkness of our day. You'd be able to see that each and every one, each and every home, each and every place is marked as a place that is sanctified in the mind and in the eye of God. That place is a place where one of my children dwell. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now the Lord is here this morning, and we are here this morning. We've got the two essential ingredients to bring about a miracle. We've got the two essential ingredients to bring about a miracle. Praise God. And I want to tell you something, that we are established on the power and the authority of God this morning, and that some of you that have brought those problems with you this morning, that it is not the will of God for you to be there. You are a child of the King. You walk in authority by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to have victory. You are to have dominance over that. And it is the will of God for you to break that bond right now, to break that bondage that has grabbed a hold to you, and to destroy that in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I want to tell you something. If your heart is burning within you because you feel the presence of God but you don't know what to do, I want to tell you that before you leave here today, if you're willing just to say, God, I'm going to establish you as being God today on the throne of my life, you're going to walk away from here and you're going to have the victory over that in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no sense in you being defeated. Praise God. Praise God. We walk around and we carry so many weights and so many burdens in our life, and we have problems at home, and we let those things build up and build up and build up till they get to the point that they defeat us spiritually. They beat us down. They destroy us. We carry them. We carry them on to the job with us. We take them and we bring them to church, if you please, with us. But you know the problem, that when you bring them to church, you don't leave them at church. You bring them to church, you want to bring them back home with you. But you brought it to church this morning. You brought it to the place where you can deal with the situation. And at this point, right now, this morning, you need to take and you need to put the curse of God upon that situation in your life and allow that thing to die in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. It's got to go in Jesus' name. Lord, you're walking with me, and it's dark outside. It's really, Lord, I believe that it's almost evening time. I want you to come in, and I want you to abide. But Lord, when I get you in this house, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I don't want to go away with spiritual heartburn, if you please. I don't want to stand up 3 weeks from now and go, God, it was so good, but I just didn't reach out like I needed to. Didn't my heart burn within me? I was so close, but I didn't get close enough. Why? Why pass the opportunity up that God has already got you to this point? That is bringing you to free you from a situation that, and I don't know what it is, it doesn't matter to me. You sinned, oh God. You come to the place where God can cure that. You fail, God, I'm sorry. But don't grieve over it. Don't lose out with God over it. Don't let God go by and you say, oh, I had an opportunity to deal with it. The man that was in hell and looked up and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he looked at a lost opportunity. Because he walked by Lazarus, and Lazarus was a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked by him every day, and the Bible says that the dogs would lick the sores of Lazarus. And as he walked by him, that rich man would walk by in and out of his house every day. And Lazarus had more than he did. But now the rich man's looking up from hell, and he's going, I really blew it. I missed the opportunity to speak to that man, and that man had the answer to my question. He had the answer to my question. What's the question that you have this morning? What is the question that you have this morning? What is the question? Did not our hearts burn within us? Didn't we feel the presence of God? Didn't we feel that abiding presence that the Lord wanted to come in, but we let it go? No. No, I don't want to let that slip this morning. Some of you were discouraged when you got dressed this morning. You looked in the mirror this morning and you were not happy with the person that you had to dress. But you're here this morning. And if you're willing to deal with the situation, I've got a God that's capable. I got a God that's capable. I've got a God that's capable. I don't care how big that the mountain seems to be. Praise God. We live in a day that the Lord is in a form of power. He is a God of authority, and he's a God of power. Praise God. He wants to establish someone. He wants to reestablish someone this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You believe that this morning? Church, I want us to intercede right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah, mighty God. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, blessed God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. God, I praise you. I believe you, Lord. I believe that you have began to break a yoke this morning, oh God. A bondage. There's a deliverance that needs to be wrought this morning, oh God. Lord, we trust you. God, we come to establish you in our lives. Lord, I thank you. I believe you, Father. Hallelujah, mighty God. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. But if I turn loose of this thing that I'm holding on to, what will I hold on to? If I turn loose of this that I'm holding on to, what will I hold on to? We'll give you something to hold on to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord again, church. God, we praise you. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. God, I believe you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Loma la la mati kiri yoshuta la la makati. Praise God. Praise God. God, I praise you. I'm speaking to one person this morning that has begun to doubt everything. Everything. You doubt yourself. You doubt your marriage. You doubt God. You doubt whether there is even a God. You've been fighting a lot.
You've been fighting a lot, but there's no sense in you hanging on to that. You need to turn it loose and let God have it. Praise God. If you don't turn it loose, God can't take it out of your hands. Praise God. Praise God. Let's all stand this morning. But let's don't turn loose of the Lord this morning. Praise God. I want you to come down front this morning if you feel the draw of God on your life this morning. You're not saying you're a sinner. You're not saying you got a problem that can't be cured. You're just saying, God, I know that it's dark outside and I'm not willing to go home by myself. I'm not willing to go home by myself. It's evening time and I want you to come. I want you to go home with me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you'd want to come and talk to the Lord this morning, praise God. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah, mighty Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, God, I praise you. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I believe you. God, I believe you. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's worship the Lord this morning. God, we love you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you one more thing, and I'm going to give you this in closing. I don't believe that the individual that God's speaking to is up here. The problem is that the people that are sensitive to the move of God always move. And because they're sensitive, they're generally not the one with the problem. Sad but true, but the people that need to hear the teaching about being at church are those who have missed that service and they need it. And the sensitivity to come and to yield to the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God is speaking to you is oftentimes wasted on the people who are insensitive, who won't move with the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. God is speaking to somebody and you're letting it be evening time and you're letting your home be affected and you're letting things being destroyed in your home and it's not the will of God. Praise God. Praise God. God is good to you. God has always been good to you. God has established you. God has never failed you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord one more time. Let's take this before the Lord. Let's intercede in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory to the name of the Lord.